Good morning, good morning. Good morning, welcome to Awaken Memphis. Let's go to the Lord this morning. He is worthy, amen. You can even put your hands together if you want. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before our God. Come, one day. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, one day. One day every tongue will confess you are Lord. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains.
I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. Fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let a flame burn to glorify your name. There are higher heights, there are deeper seas. Whatever you want to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God, oh, it fills my life. And I will never be the same again. Fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters. again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let a flame burn to glorify your name. Let this be our prayer. Oh, fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let a flame burn to glorify your name. I will never be the same again. I can never return. No, I've closed that door. I will walk the path, Lord, I'll run your race, and I will never be the same again. No, I will never be the same again. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Let's sing all that again. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Jesus, your name is power, spread the living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Let's welcome Roselle Anderson.
Hallelujah. You bow your heads just for a minute. Let's welcome the greatest gift God has ever given us in the personality of the precious, precious Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. Quiet for a minute, please. Quiet for a minute. Sweet Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We extend this invitation unto you because you are our power source. You are the one that brings forth the revelation from the information of heaven. Thank you for the wonderful privilege we have as mere men, human beings, to be able to be called children of the Most High God. Thank you, O gracious and kind Father, for you being our Father, and we cry out unto you and you hear and answer our prayers because of your unconditional love that you have for us. Father, let us realize, Lord, we must surrender all to you in order, Lord, for glorification to manifest, Lord, in our lives and unto you. As we yield now, we surrender our entire being unto you, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To him be glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the privilege that I have this morning to stand before you to speak. Thank God for Brother David and Brother Henry opening up this facility, following the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring us to a reality check, to understand that God is seeking true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Church as usual is over. Because why? Jesus, the Son of the living God, is on his way back to get us. If you ever meet the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will never ever be the same. And see, understanding this, denominationalism, traditions in the church makes the word of God of none effect. See, he is the greatest gift to us as the body of Christ. He's none other than the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the workings of God. He's the demonstration of God. He's the one that brings forth the revelation of God. He is the unconditional lover. In spite of us, he loves us. and the church as a whole is neglecting him. Church, hear me this morning, or hear him. He's very, 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 very sensitive. And he will not come to where he's not welcome. And most of the churches are not openly welcoming him. They're going through a form of worship, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away and turn unto him because of his great love that he has for every individual. See, he set the church up, he being the Holy Spirit, at the Red Sea with Moses and the children of Israel. He was the one that brought forth the dry land. Hallelujah. He was the one with Daniel in the lion's den that took the fight and the bite out of the lions and caused Daniel to find comfort. He is the one that stood with the Hebrew boys at the time of the decision to trust God through their dilemma and through what they was going through. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And see, the church have got rocked to sleep, leaning to their own understanding about how to worship him, how to come to him. And most of us is locked into denominationalism, and we are following the format of what somebody learned in a cemetery. In a seminary. And don't get me wrong, that's good in its place. But he must be first. Never ever will he be second. And we must understand this as the church. And see, most time we don't realize that he's seeking. As John 4:24 said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must, not a suggestion, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Why? Because he's seeking such to worship him. He's seeking people to get out of themselves and get into him and allow him to be their only source. See, he wants to be a father to every one of us. And he do not want us to entrust ourselves to no one else care but him. But the church, the body of Christ, as a whole, have shucked this responsibility of allowing him to live this victorious life in us and through us, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified. Here it is, you see Peter in the Gospels following Jesus. Peter in and of himself, meaning business with Jesus, sincere, following him. And Jesus, I let him identify with the reality of carnality as opposed to who he is in the spirit. In other words, Peter really meant what he said about loving and following Jesus, but he didn't have the capability nor the power to do so in and of himself. And so Jesus set up the scene where he could show Peter, said, Peter, yeah, you mean well from what you're saying, but the reality of power is not resonating within because I'm still in your presence. So understanding then, Peter was doing his best within himself. And Peter began to try to follow in Jesus. Then at the time of Jesus' capture, as he was being taken from judgment hall to judgment hall, Peter denied him as Jesus had said. And they said, Peter, you was with him. Then Peter began to cuss and said, No, I wasn't with him. This is where the church is today. He's reaching out, he's leading, he's coming in, and he's trying to indoctrinate the church with the power and the revelation of God, and realizing that he's a supernatural manifestation of the presence of the Almighty God that's been rendered unto the church to go forth and do exploits in his name. And people not realizing they're going to church as usual. And they're bringing anything to God and calling it worship. Political scene. They value more political than they do the Holy Spirit. And they fighting for the political scene. They on point with this. They standing up for somebody because they whisper Jesus' name sometimes and say they in. And the other ones that not whisper Jesus' name, they say they out. But the Bible told us, as it relates to the political arena, to pray for every man that's in authority. Regardless of whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, we should pray. But no, the church getting locked up trying to intermingle, and it's not going to mix. It never have, it never will. And I understand that Peter, with Jesus, realizing now, after he denied Jesus, that he didn't have no power in and of himself. But you go and connect with Peter again in the book of Acts, in the third chapter. Peter and John going to church, coming to the house of prayer. And on their way, they run into a lame man laid at the church step or at the gate. And Peter looked on the man, and the man was there begging and asking for money. And a lot of times we good at giving money. But Peter looked on the man and told the man, said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. And immediately the man's legs and ankles received strength. He leaped up walking, went into the church and praised in God. The Peter before and the Peter after. Full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1, and they said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come up on you. When you got saved, he came in you. Yes, sir. It's a difference. You go in the book of Acts and search out, and you see. And most times when we get to the book of Acts, and it said, you shall receive power in Acts 1 and 8, then people say, what happened when you received power? Read the next chapter. It tells you what happened when you received power. But most of us negate and neglect that scripture because what we get entangled is about tongues. It didn't say you shall receive tongues. It said you shall receive power. But most of us let the devil come in with a slick self and slide us out of that understanding and put us in an understanding by leaning to our own understanding. Tongues is a language that the Holy Spirit utter in you and you portray out of your, speak out of your mouth. That's a gift from God to help us pray. Because the devil can't get in there. But us praying in English, he can get all in there. We soon run out of words to say in English. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, the second verse, he said, he that speaks in the unknown tongue ain't talking to man, they're talking to God. If I'm talking to God speaking in tongues, I ought to want to talk in tongues. But we got indoctrinated. We leave the Bible. We leave the teaching. The Acts of the Apostle, we say. The Bible that said the Acts of the apostle brought this in, he says the Holy Spirit. And most of us get locked in that tongue. Oh, you know, the devil makes you talk in tongues. No, the only time I talk in tongues when the devil out at the nightclub out there cussing and fussing, shooting pistols and sticking folk in and out of jail. When I got shot in 1982, that we were talking in tongues then. Yeah, we were talking in tongues then, right then. See, I raised in North Memphis in a concrete jungle out there. Yes, sir. I didn't went to the seminary. In the seminary. I would come through the hard knocks, in and out of jail, doing my own thing, trying to chart my own course. I met Jesus. I met him, y'all. I met the Jesus of the Bible. I didn't meet the Jesus I conjured up in my head through an emotion or a feeling. And the reason why I can say that with such certainty or assured, as a matter of fact, I was on my way here this morning, and he was reminding me. He said, you remember the times you was in Mariana, Arkansas? I said, yeah, Father. I said, yeah, Dad, I remember that. See, we had that kind of relationship, fellowship. I said, yeah, Dad, I remember that. He said, you remember the time you was in that household over there, and the lady was blind, and I had you to lay hands upon her. I said, yeah. And you know, I prayed for the lady, and I left. Mary Randall came back to Memphis. And one day, not long after that, the lady that went with us over there, she came running down the street and saying, you know that lady you prayed for? She can see. Her daughter called and said, she can see, she can see. And he was reminding me that of that. He was saying that to remind me of that, to let me know, sir, this is the workings that should be exemplified in the church today. But you know why it's not there? Because men and women are leaning to their own understanding. They locked into one that got a whole lot of DDs, TTs, and PCCs, and HIVs, Bs on their resume. They locked into that and not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And because they're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit, then they don't see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the church. Don't you sometimes wonder what happened to the miracle signs and wonders? What happened to them? He's the same Holy Spirit. He tells in the book of Hebrews, he's God, that he's same today, yesterday, and forever. What happened? God never changes. And the problem is never with God. It's always with man. And we need to understand that this morning, that it must be a surrender. It must be a choice. It can't be by force. You must surrender to him in the name of Jesus. We're on right track, on the right track in awakening. Going forth to win the lost at any cost. But that empowerment. And see, as I follow Jesus through his ministry, everywhere he went, matter of fact, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. And every time you see Jesus encounter something or someone, that was a miraculous move of God. Why? Well, you look in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, Jesus baptized in the river of Jordan by John. And he said, the Spirit of God descended in the body shape as a dove and lighted upon him. Then you hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Yes, now you got what? People say, well, how can God be three people and the same God? Easily. In Matthew, he shows you. Jesus, the Son of Man in earth, God the Father in heaven speaks, and the Holy Spirit comes in the body shape of a dove. You have the Trinity, all three, but one God. And so the devil, he sidetracks with that. You know, being in the penitentiary, me and Brother Cash, we run into all kind of stuff. And see, y'all doing a great work out here. But in there, you got to realize what we up against in there. Spiritually speaking, you got murderers, folk doing double life. You got killers, molesters. You got everything imaginable that the devil can muscle up in there. And you were going there to preach the gospel, and the devil got him on point. Standing. Sometimes even want to come and disrupt the service. And many times I've been preaching about gang banging and stuff like that against that. And the gang leaders said, we got to take care of him. And guess what the Holy Spirit do? He let them know he already taken care of. Hallelujah. And they call off the head, and next thing you know, we got brothers that's associated, affiliate. They come to the church and give their lives to Jesus. Because of who? Not because of Raziel, because of the Holy Spirit. Because of who he is. And because I allow him to get in the way as I get out of the way. And this church needs to know that. It's only when you surrender, when you totally surrender, when you get out of you. See, you remember when Peter and them went fishing in Luke, the 5th chapter. And Jesus asked Peter to use his boat. And Jesus said, okay, Jesus, have my boat. Jesus said, I got to speak to the people. He used the boat. And then Jesus brought the boat. Said, okay, Peter, I'm through. Now go and launch out into the deep for a draw. And Peter said, okay, Jesus, I hear what you're saying. But we done toiled all night and caught nothing. See, when you come to Jesus and surrender your life, he takes all the toil out of it. And he told Peter, the next thing you see Peter go and they drop off their net, They can't catch a boatload of fish, net breaking fish, and had to call for their partners to help them. And see, when you surrender to God, you get out of the natural and the supernatural start to manifest in your individual lifestyle. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And not sometime, but every time. Because that's what's going to draw people. Amen. It ain't my must speaking. It's not your must speaking. It's the drawing in of the Holy Spirit. With love and kindness have I drawn thee. Yes, we're supposed to stand up and speak as the oracle. But he does the drawing. He's the workings of God. He's the third person of the Trinity. But the church have deviated. But like I said, they are locked into denominationalism. I got saved. I met Jesus. Prior to me getting saved, like I said earlier, you know, I'm accustomed to taking care of my bed in the concrete jungle out there. Anything went down, I handle it. So I get shot in 1982. So-called partner. We all so-called that in the streets out there because there ain't no loyalty in that. We just name something of that nature, but there's no loyalty in that. So, because he shot me, my pact with the devil was I was gonna kill him. Made up my mind, I'm gonna kill him. But little did I know at the time the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. He was working with me. He was working with me. And so I'm having this mindset to take this guy out. And I caught him slipping. That's terminology we use in the street. And I had it. I had it. But the Holy Spirit told me to fold and hold and roll. Because why? Because why? He knew he had this day set for me. And then what he did, I was full of hell. Because of my yielding and surrender to him, he loved the hell out of me. And he continued to do it. And see, we need to get real with ourselves. Some of us are talking love, but we really ain't doing it. Because in the back of your mind, see, you let color be a hindrance. And God is not about color. God's about his people loving one another. This is what the Holy Spirit brings. This is what he does. The reason why you can't love genuinely because you won't allow him to love through you. You still trying to do it. You still let the devil bring these distractions and different attractions in your life, and that's causing you to deviate from what God wants you to do. That's the reason why you won't go out there and try to witness. I can tell you my witness. I remember God called me to preach, and I said, well, I ain't got a church to be in the ministry in. He said, your church is the whole round world out there. I heard the calling, and I went for it. Then we started ending up on Bill Street every Saturday night. I went and bought some equipment just like this, speaking with stands just like that. I had a mixer board like that. And I had a microphone. And we hit the streets of Memphis, my wife and I, before she passed in 2006. Every Saturday night, as Brother Cassie was saying, we started with a group of guys going to the penitentiary. We started with a group on Saturday night going out in the street ministry. But we ended up just me and her. The speakers were tall, so I had some big speakers to try to get them up on the stand. She would try to help us. No, baby, don't worry about trying to get them on the stand. They leave them on the ground. And she would get the microphone and start praising and worship on the street corner. We were doing that. And Bill Street. Then we went to Handy Park. In Handy Park and Bill Street on a Saturday night, you know it's loaded with people. And we had the park out there. We plug our stuff up, preaching the gospel. People sitting around listening. The merchants on Bill Street come and cut the lights and power off to the park. So we quit preaching. Because they said the devil knew we were disturbing their business. But so God in his infinite wisdom already touched me to tell me how to do this thing. So I already had some lights in my van and a generator. So I go get the lights and the generator out of my van. See, you can't be God, I'm telling you. I went and got the lights and the generator out of my van. And went and lit the park up with my lights and turn the microphone and my mixer back on with my generator. And they come out wild-eyed and say, what, how you get power? But prior to that, the people got upset. I'm serious. The people that were sitting there listening at the gospel, they got highly upset with those people for turning the power out. And they were saying, they got just as much right as we have down here, drinking and going on. They got as much right to be down here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, they did. And the devil, he don't want you to come into this understanding about who the Holy Spirit is in your life. He wants you to think that you got to do the best you can. And see, the Holy Spirit is our comfort. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He is the one that revealed the revelation of what God. See, God is speaking to us. Church, hear me. God is speaking to us all the time. But you got to develop an ear to hear that he's saying. But most of us are too busy going on trying to do church as opposed to be in the church. Understanding this. Yes, your zeal can't get before your anointing. That calling or that sanctification God had called and placed upon your life where he has set you apart to do this work that he has assigned you to do. See, you on a journey. You must realize that you was not born again just to do your thing. No, it's about him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's nothing about us. We must understand that. It's all about him. And the devil is a lying devil. He done told you that God can't use you. Some of you got you depressed, oppressed, stressed, and in duress. He got you in anxiety. You don't realize it's him. You think that just as a way of life for me. No. The enemy in John 10:10 said he come not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yes. And I can remember as I'm talking about the Holy Spirit this morning, Brother Michael Cassidy and myself, we are going to South Central, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, in Clifton, Tennessee, to a prison up there to minister. And I can remember going to Whiteville with a van load of guys. And Bellevue had representative with Bellevue Baptist Church. I was raised a Baptist, so get that stigma out of your mind. Let the devil tell you that now. I'm against Baptist. No. And we was going to preach the gospel in this prison there. And we got there, like I'm doing this morning, talking about the Holy Spirit. And God filled the room of men with the Holy Spirit. You say, how you know, preacher? Because they begin to speak in tongues that the Spirit of God gave to utterance. Oh, speak in tongues. Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's in your Bible. But ain't nobody teaching. Romans 10:17 said, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If nobody teaching, you won't gain faith for it. Faith don't come by having heard. Faith come by hearing. Hearing means faith is always in the present tense. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is. But you know why it ain't coming? Because we lean to our own understanding. We think we can do it without him. And we're trying. We're trying. See, he talks about it in Romans 10:10. He said, my heart and prayer for God is for Israel. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They were zealous, but without any power. Follow the book of Acts, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see Peter praying for folks. And then they land folks all in the street out there, hoping that his shadow passed by and they got healed. Go to Philip over there in the book of Acts. He preaches and the power of God falling and people getting healed and delivered. Then he turns around after the man get healed. He goes forth to deliver the gospel. He catch up with the eunuch. He catch up with him. And the man trying to read the Bible said, do you know what you're reading? I'm asking you the question, do you know what you're reading? Do you know what you're reading? And the man said, how can I know unless somebody teach me or tell me? And all I stopped by to do is tell you this morning, the teacher is here, none other than the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, Jesus said, I will not leave you comforted, but I'll send you another comforter that he's going to teach you and bring back your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. He's in you. Yes, sir. The teacher's in you. Yes, sir. But you must allow him to teach you. You can't let nothing get in the way. Well, you can. See, everything in God is by choice, not by force. He ain't going to make you do nothing. Jesus didn't. Jesus healed him. That's what drawed the people. Jesus healed the maimed, the lame. People coming into church, maimed and lame, coming in and going back out the same way. The church is supposed to be the hospital where people find deliverance from everything, church. See, you are no longer a citizen of this earth. You hear me now? You know, if you are born again, you are no longer a citizen of this world. You in this world, but not of the world. This is the teaching of the Bible. I ain't come with no new doctrine this morning. This is what the Bible teaches us. But because you indoctrinated with man's philosophy, you negate the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He wanted to help us this morning. He wanted to do it. Bring us to the awareness of who he is. See, the people came because they saw the miracles, the signs and the wonders. And the Bible tells me and you that miracles, signs and wonders are supposed to follow us as believers. They supposed to follow us. How else is they going to know Jesus is here? If we just going through the run of a minute, we going in the church, coming out the same way, ain't no demonstration, ain't no manifestation, there ain't no revelation of nothing. Well, what going to draw them to the church then? You can catch a fish, but if you don't know how to clean, you just done caught him. You don't know nothing about him. He's a cleansing agent. He's none other than the Holy Spirit, and the church has been rocked asleep about his awareness and who he is. I don't care what you call yourself. If you leave him out the equation, you don't have genuine love. You don't have true salvation. You don't have it. I don't care who you are. If you're talking about following Jesus, he's everything. He's everything. And we negate the greatest gift God has given us. We wondering why the church don't look like the church of old. Because we have left him out the equation. We left him. We got everything before him. We have left him out of the equation. The promise of God is here, church. He's in you. He's in you this morning. When you got saved, if you really gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he came in you then. But if you go to the book of Acts and see when Stephen was chosen as a man full of the Holy Ghost because the Grecian women felt like they were being neglected in the church, they told him to look out and get seven men full of the Holy Ghost and of a good report, and let them tally the business of the church, because men and women of God must give themselves continue to prayer and the word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Genesis 1:26 said, we made in the image and the likeness of God. Genesis 2:7, God formed man from the dust of the ground. He made a man in Genesis 1:26 and made a body for the man to live in Genesis 2 and brought the spirit into the body. Man became a living being, full of the Holy Ghost. Adam was full of the Holy Ghost before he fell from grace. But when Adam fell, I'm getting away from my soul. You don't have to worry about it long. I'm finna go. When Adam fell from grace, he fell from the total provision of his Father God. Adam used to be able to discern. But once he fell from grace, he had to learn. He had to learn how to provide for a family. He had to learn how to provide for himself. He had to learn how to feed himself. Why? Because he fell from grace. He disobeyed God. And here it is today, we walk in similar pathways in that direction. You see the church. You don't hear nothing about going to hell in the church, preaching about hell. Hell's in the Bible. You don't hear nothing about that now. You go there and get a darkened priest where the homiletica, and they go down and format it and preach where you can feel good about yourself going up out of here. Ain't no conviction. Ain't no conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because, like I said earlier, he's not going to force himself on anyone. He comes by invitation only. Peter and them invited him in the third chapter of Acts. They invited him there. Why? Because he heard what he said unto him. It wasn't none of Peter's doing. It was the Holy Spirit doing. He now full of the Holy Ghost. So all he got to do is obey what he say. Listen and develop an ear to hear what he's saying unto him. All he did was repeat what he heard him say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And immediately, not tomorrow, right now. It was a brother came in here one morning, went all over me. When he stood up and said, talking about Paul with the thorn in his side. God is putting this on to teach him something. My God, brother, what Bible is you reading? Where are you? God is not putting nothing on you. No. Why would God need to put sickness on you and Jesus came to heal? Think about it. I don't care if Paul had a thorn, had a rock, a brick in his side. God didn't put it on him. He said it was a messenger of Satan, the devil. But people are copping out to that because the devil is brainwashing people to think that they're suffering for Christ. No, he suffered on the cross. For the Lord, now we can stand up and be disciples and speak his word. The devil constantly lying and people buying into the lie. That brother stood here and I wrote down a whole lot of healing scriptures and I gave it to him before he left me. I ain't heard nothing else from him, but faith cometh by him. Begin to speak this. Psalm 107:20 say he sent his word and he healed them. Yeah. But see, if you gonna say what the devil said, then you get what he says. If you don't change, Proverbs 18:21 said the power of life and death is in the tongue. What you saying every day? Yeah, you know, we said things, don't even realize that we activating the kingdom. Oh, my leg is killing me. Think about it, listen to what, my leg is killing me. My head is killing me. Oh, my head won't stop hurting. You don't think that's nothing. But you are activating the kingdom. Ain't but two. Good and evil. If you speaking negatives all the time, you wonder why you can't find deliverance in that? Because you speaking that. Power, life, and death is what you saying. I'm telling you now. See, you think I'm preaching this. I told you I was raised in the streets. I wasn't raised in the cemetery, in the seminary. And I met Jesus. That's why I can say to a man or a woman, if you ever meet Jesus Christ, your life would never, ever be the same. Never, ever. Because you have met true love. You met true forgiveness. You met someone that's really concerned about you. Everything that's concerning you, from the little nick on your finger to the major attack in your body, he's concerned about everything concerning you. And he tells in 1 Peter 5:7, he says, cast all your cares. Give every one of your cares to him. But we don't do it. That's how we get folks delivered in the penitentiary. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We introduce him to some and present him to others. Because he's the only help and the only hope for mankind. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Father. Let us pray. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the impartation of the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you impart here. Now, Father, I thank you that they that's here have ears to hear that word that you spoke directly to them. Let them go away from here, Father, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, to realize, Lord, that you spoke to them because you love them. And you expect change in the individual lifestyle. Let them know, Father, how much you are concerned about everything that's concerning them. And don't let the devil, because the Bible says, immediately the devil comes stealing away when it goes forth. Quit leaning to your own understanding. Just go and spend time with God in fellowship and ask him, is that what you heard this morning is really for you? And I guarantee you, he'll reveal to you that he won't spoken to you in the direction he would take you in. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for this privilege once again to speak your word. Oh, glory to your name. Oh, and Lord, you set up the format for how you will tell us to come in before you. You tell us in Psalm 100, come in making a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land, and most of us come in like we just left the cemetery. We don't come in making a joyful noise. Lord, I apologize for us, because I know you love us and you expect us to adhere to what you tell us, because all disobedience is sin. Lord, forgive us as we go forth from this day, realizing that you love us so much. Lord, let your grace fill this house that have made your word conducive to be preached in this setting. Brother Henry, Sister Lisa, David, and all that lead up awakening, thank you for that increase of the anointing that's upon their lives. Thank you for the blessing that would overtake them and move as they continue to move in the direction that you are leading them. I do thank you once again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You know, when we started about 67 weeks ago in here, we'd get up and we'd talk about shares. How many people did you engage in the harvest this past week? How many people did you engage in the harvest last week? How many do you intend to engage this week? The couple outreaches we were involved in this week, we had over 40 people say yes to Jesus. We're not talking about shares. The shares are off the chart. I'm sure it's way over 100. How does that occur? It occurs when disciples begin to train people how to engage lostness. So if you don't engage lostness daily, come on out Sunday, Sheffy's at 5:00, and start talking to somebody and go with some people who are trained. The fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. And so my challenge to you is back up a few verses. You know what Jesus talked about when he talked about the fields are white for harvest? You back up a few verses. He talks about count the cost. Salvation's free. Following Jesus will cost you everything. But you know what? It is really fun. Are you missing the fun of engaging people? How many people did you introduce the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus last week? If it's zero, get out of the stands and get on the field. That's where the Holy Spirit is. That's where Jesus is. He said, go. It's one of the last things he asked his disciples to do. Go do what? Go make a disciple. David handed me this little book he's got. Where's your one? Who is it? Who are you training right now? If you're not, you're missing your calling. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful gift that you've given us. When we know you, Jesus, you've given us not only your spirit, you've given us a ministry of reconciliation to plead with others to come back to God. Father, we thank you that you're binding the strong man. We thank you, Father, that the evil one has no place here. The evil one has no place when we engage these people. And Father, will you continue to show your favor on the people in this room? Continue to show your favor at Shelby Farms. Continue to show your favor on the streets of Memphis. Continue to show your favor in the prisons, Father, by binding the evil one. Father, help us be filled with your spirit and to move forward in power, that we might be witnesses here in Memphis, in the surrounding area. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is a Belly of the Whale production.